Very happy to welcome you to the Communications Committee. The agenda which you've had, all 24 pages of it. I note the leave of absence of Councillor Bell. Everybody else is here, aren't they?
Councillor
Bell. Yes, there he is. Warm welcome, Councillor Neal.
18:30.
It wasn't the best meeting of the day, but...
Just as well you weren't here, Andrew.
Was he strategic?
Oh, I mean, you...
I'm going to confirm the agenda number 4, unless anybody has a compelling late item that I should consider. Nope, that's excellent. No conflicts of interest. The minutes of our 21st of March meeting, I'll move from the chair that they be received and confirmed.
Second that.
Thanks, Councillor Lawton. Those in favour say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against, carried. On to the director's report. And the 2.1, the Tomahawk Lagoon Community Vision, I note that there have been workshops held on the 28th of February and on the 1st of May, which is just a couple of days ago. Does anybody have any verbal reports on those workshops and how they went and what happened?
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, both. Well, we, Councillor Scott, myself, and
great.
Went to the first one. I don't actually know anything about the second one, the later one.
Okay, tell us about the first one anyway, just briefly.
Well, it was reasonably well attended, and there was a lot of enthusiasm from the public participating. There were some issues over ownership of land around the lagoon, but there was no real issues that probably couldn't be resolved. And it was just an initial discussion, and how the next one went, well, I would be interested to know, because...
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't know about it, but I didn't actually attend it. Yes, it was well worthwhile.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Scott.
Yeah, it was well worthwhile. It was well facilitated. As I understand it, you know, like it's a three-step, and it's been outlined here in terms of the first one, establishing a collective view on the vision and the goals. And there seemed to be a good cross-section of people to the one I attended. And if I can, I'll try to make this next one, because... It's going to be a really exciting opportunity in our back door. Like, this is the Tomahawk community, you know, they sort of feel, some of them, they've been down this path before. So it's time for this process to stand up and deliver.
Okay.
I look forward to that.
Is DCC involved?
Not to my understanding. No. They'll be too busy sorting out the buses, Councillor.
Ignore that. Yeah, please do.
Through the chair, I think we've both the Tomahawk community vision and the Lake Waikatoto community vision. The feedback we're hearing from the community around it is, it's all well and good to be doing this visioning exercise, but they're very keen to understand and unpick where it's all heading.
Yeah.
Dr. Palmer and I have agreed to have a discussion about what the end point looks like, because there's no real budget to achieve this vision, so what we're really keen not to do is set up this expectation and then fail to deliver.
Yep.
So at the conclusion of the workshop, the wrap-up report will come to Council, and we'll need to have a robust discussion about what that all means in terms of delivering.
That's good.
Yeah, and Council, our role.
Yes, thank you. So just following on from that, can I, as background, where did this idea for the visioning process come from? What's it?
From my memory, about 3-4 years ago, we had reports through from science about the very bad condition of the Tomahawk Lagoon.
Yep.
It was in trouble. And I think that's where this all started. It's a bad condition. What do we do? Who cares? Does the community care? Do we care? Now we're working on it. I think that's where it came from. Anybody got any better ideas?
So it's taken 4 years to get to the point of going back to the community to ask for a visioning process, of which we still don't have an outcome for?
I don't think that's fair. Councillor Woodhead?
From my understanding, Dr. Palmer might be able to assist, there was three communities in particular, Waikatoto, Lake Hayes and Tomahawk.
Yep.
They'd, essentially not their words, my words, enough monitoring, we understand we've got some issues, what are we going to do? So this is an opportunity, we put it in last year's annual plan, this is, as a community, some doing. And we need to make sure we've got some budget for doing things at the end of that community process.
Dr. Palmer, do you want to add anything to this?
Yes, the issues with Tomahawk are that some members of the community would like water levels to be lower to avoid flood hazard. Other members of the community want the water levels to be higher to address water quality issues. So one of the practical outcomes of the Tomahawk exercise will be to agree with the community exactly what that lake level regime, water level regime should look like, and then put in place the infrastructure and the procedures to achieve that. With respect to Takitoto, the issues are a bit different. Council owns the bed of the lake and has previously issued grazing licences for land around the margins of the lake. Council decided that it was no longer appropriate to have intense agricultural use around the margins of the lake, but then needed to decide how to manage that landholding. So that process is coming up with a vision as to how to manage that landholding, which is part of the Lower Clutha for Flood Protection Scheme.
Thank you. I think that's all for information. Can we move on to 2.2? Because I've got a couple of questions there as well. Councillor Scott?
Yeah, I enjoyed this bit because often we're going through this process with 6A, so we're looking at the big picture. But here, you know, here was the situation at the college, and what it says. Well, on Saturday, when we had the box at the railway station for the long-term plan, a member of the community came to me and said that one thing that he felt that this council could do better was in the water quality realm, was actually when we have the data, is actually communicating that data to the stakeholders so they clearly understand whether they're complying or non-complying in that particular step, emphasising that step, that feedback loop, so that landowners can't hide in the corner. Whatever data we've got will make that situation...
What's this got to do with Cochrane Valley College?
What that has got to do with Cochrane Valley College is that the message in the second paragraph is this, is that it talks about a strong message that came out of this workshop was that the first step is to collect the data, the second step is to convey this data in a meaningful way, and the third step is to take this data in the story and create action on the ground. And I'm saying, great, because it's not only Cochrane Valley, it's the Targo.
All right. Mike, sorry, Councillor Robinson.
Yeah, I really like the idea that they're orchestrating a hui and leadership from this council, given that we are moving into urban water quality plan change as well. I think Kite Stream particularly misses out a bit, and previously this council has invested quite a lot in enhancements, walkways. Like the lease, we're loving the lease and forgetting the kite cry. I noticed it wasn't in our 10-year rotation for water quality as well, monitoring. So I reckon lifting the ball and having some sort of integrated project happening there. I know Kite Cry College will show good leadership in that. It's something we should be doing.
Is Dr. McMillan still there?
I think so.
Because he was doing all the leadership on this work here. Yep. That'd be great if he is. Okay, that's good. I agree with you totally, Councillor Robinson. The question is to our directors, can we do this hui? And if we can, who's going to do it? Wasn't an awful lot of hands shot up there.
Chair, I'm going to probably throw to Lisa Glogue, for those of you who don't know, she's acting in the Manager of Strategic Communication and Engagement role with Suzanne Archer. My reaction would be yes, we can do this hui, and we do similar events and coordinate them within my team, but I'll throw to Lisa.
Good morning. Alongside them, they are a great organisation that give us access into communities that we might otherwise have more difficulty, reaching into. This is hopefully a great starting point for, an urban catchment group. There is certainly Kaikai within the Kaikai community to get that set up. We're working with the policy team at the moment with regards to, I guess, the urban water policy development, and I've got a meeting with that team later this week where I'll discuss, I guess, how this can be involved in that process as well, so that they're working, I guess, in alignment with them. But we can absolutely get this off the ground and can just start chats with, I guess, the policy team to make sure it's in alignment with other work OIC is doing, and also with Land Care Trust to make sure that we can work in conjunction with what they will be doing.
And if I may add through the chair to those comments, I think at a higher level, this does bring to mind for me what our role as a council is in urban and rural catchment groups. And we've had some brief discussions in this forum around that, but I would very much like to dedicate a workshop around what our role is in those catchment groups, because they are gaining momentum and they're certainly powerful ways of implementing improvements to water quality. So I'd like to make that suggestion.
Lots of nods around the table. Thanks, Lisa. And keep us in touch through the director's report on how everything goes. Councillor Lawton.
So, thank you. And it brings up a really important point, I think, when we're moving into this urban water space. Here, particularly in the Queenstown Lakes, there's been a lot of discussion about water quality. We have had background conversations about this. If we're going to go out to the community and have a discussion, it needs to be meaningful. It needs to have clear objectives of how we're going to use the information, and we've only got one go at it. We need to be really careful not to continually ask people to come back, and as we've talked about with the likes of the minimum flows, it needs to be really purposeful, and people need to come away feeling like, okay, I'm really clear about what the rest of the process is. So when I read this point about orchestrating a hui, it's always awesome to have that conversation, but we need to be really careful. We've only got one go, otherwise they won't come back. So, thanks.
Okay. Anything else? Councillor Scott.
Sorry, apologies. Now that you've got me back on track.
Oh, good.
Just make the point that, look, if you're ever after an appropriate setting for hui on the Kaikai, you know, there's a wonderful marae there, right at the headwaters of there.
Yeah.
And all the stuff's really important to
the stream flows right past the meeting
house. Exactly right, at the head of it. And
cool. So off forgotten Marae too.
Hmm.
Anyway, can we move on to the next page, and I'll take any questions or comments from 2.3 down to 2.6 and 7. I've got a question about 2.6 as to why we're waiting so long for the Environmental Enhancement Fund. Now delayed until the council meeting in June. Not so much the reasons why, but is it all going okay?
And do we have another workshop before this council?
And the answer seems to be yes, we do.
Okay. Through the chair, an email sent to McDonald's days ago trying to secure a date for a second workshop. So we've completed all of the criteria and we're ready to go with that prior to the council meeting. Apologies for the delay. We have had a loss of a key member of staff who was leading.
That's true.
Leading the project.
Yes, she was.
Probably not an excuse, but that's been what's happened. But we're well progressed with it. In fact, we're nearly complete. So looking forward to the second workshop where we present the criteria, the new fund brand potential look and feels, and the new funding stages and rounds, and all the things we discussed in that first workshop.
Good. Thanks, Sharon. That's good stuff. Councillor Noon.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just 2.5, meeting with Dear Smith. Great to see that's happened, Sharon. And bumped into Dears unofficially, and he was very complimentary of not only the meeting with the ORC, but there had been some positive vibes coming out of the DCC as well in terms of funding. It's all sounds positive at this point.
Great. Anything else on that page? Sorry, Councillor Brown.
North Targa, Palmerston, but the Noslam group in North Targa having three field days on the 8th and 9th of... it's not in here, but I'm just raising it.
Oh, okay, good.
May.
But there is...
Staff been invited to this or participating in it? Because I actually think it's quite important, because I'm actually away, unfortunately. So I think it's quite important we are represented there. So, obviously going to a bit of trouble with three field days over 2 days.
Yep.
Some of my stuff to Palmerston, about Palmerston there.
James, we going to that?
Yep. Yeah, through the chair. So James White, our
liaison specialist is for heavily involved in that area and with that group. While we're on the topic of 2.7, I did want to highlight through this report some concerns have been voiced about the water plan, and I know we have the water reference group, but I think it's important to highlight that my team are out there in the field and they're hearing some of the same messages. So the ones that I underlined within this particular context were the idea of what's classified as a river. Unclear, farmers are unclear in terms of their nutrient limits for 2020 under Schedule 16, and there's concern around the generation of overseer reports and how we would require these to be updated. I know these themes keep on coming through, but it makes it very challenging for my team, who are the face out there. When they get these questions, they ultimately have to say, I don't know, which doesn't help our reputation.
Councillor Laws.
Thank you for raising this, because I wanted to raise this. It also links into, I think it's 3.1. Yes, it is. And it's really, I think, almost the most important issue on the paper, actually, the issue that you've raised here. We've got a communications issue about what are the rules, what do we do, how do we do it, with the wider rural community, certainly in my discussions with farmers and horticulturists, actually, in my area. But I think if that's true of my area, then you've obviously identified it in Otago as well. And I wonder, for all of we all say, oh, what's the problem? Sitting there on the website, you know, and go and have a look at it and things like that. But it's impossibly convoluted and it's really difficult to access and to make sense of. And I wondered if we got to the stage now, Michael, where we actually need some sort of easy-to-understand publication that goes out to our community that updates them as to where we are, what our expectations are, and is delivered, you know, into every household or every rural household. Have we got to that stage?
Mm.
Because at the moment, everything seems to be a hodgepodge of piecemeal approach without any integration. I'm not surprised. God, most of us are confused, let alone farmers who have got to interpret it and still run an economic business. I know that there is a massive amount of work going to be coming out of central government on this, so more directors are likely, which is going to change the landscape even further, and potentially radically. But at the moment it would be nice just to have some form of communication to our general rural community about what their obligations are, how they're measured, and to almost translate that through into our what I call peri-rural communities. So the Alexandras, the Cromwells, you know, the Ramfordies, the Roxburghs, I guess the Belcluthers as well. Can I advance that conversation?
May I comment through the chair? I completely agree. I think we need to simplify our policies, and certainly it's something I'm adamant about doing. The challenge we have is that we don't know the answers.
Mm.
So what we need to think about is the answers to some of these fundamental questions that are being asked in the community of our staff. And the reference group, the water reference group, has touched on this, Councillor Scott, but we can't make any communication materials unless we know what those key messages are as a group.
Yeah. I understand
and
that,
answer those questions.
But what I'm talking about even is just the simple integration of information that we've already, in policies and plans we've decided. No, it's really difficult for an ordinary person to understand what their obligations are.
Chair, couldn't agree more.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor. I'm agreeing with you too. I'm going to Councillor Kemp and then Councillor Scott.
Thank you. Look, I want to support what Director Sutton is saying, is that there's a really first of all, we still have some fundamental philosophical differences about implementation of 6A in this council. We haven't even got past philosophy yet. And the Water Reference Group has got a really hard job. And the philosophies I'm talking about are whether this is measure everything you can find against Schedule 16 or whether the State of the Environment program underpins this. That is a really, really important philosophical question that this council is not, I don't think, is agreed on, and I don't think has ever been answered. Now, if we don't get over that, and so I guess I'm saying to the Water Reference Group, I think that's the biggest job. If we don't get over that, then we cannot
communicate. And so what I'm appealing for is a sense of urgency around that.
Yeah, some of this I agree, and some of it I'm not so sure about. But the point that I do agree is that the reference group has got a responsibility to, as quickly as possible, to work the way through and identify the issues, resolve the issues, and through all that process, come out of it with some simple messages. And a good solution is a simple solution. So, and that's the task that's been set, and that's what we're going to get on with. In relation to the inference that staff don't know, or there's some concern because farmers are asking particular questions and staff don't know, I struggle to accept that, to be fair. Yes, this reference group's got some challenges. Yes, the council's got some challenges, but I struggle to accept that. We've been through a process. We've got a plan. We've got numerous brochures and so forth. Yeah, a new councillor, a new farmer is going to struggle to get their head around it, but we've been on this journey for a while. It's to get those simple brochures and at the moment to get them out there. So this question in terms of what a river is, it's not about staff or councillors hiding in a corner saying, oh, I don't know. We do know what a river is. And in regard to, unclear what our nutrient limits for 2020 are under Schedule 16, we clearly know what they are. It's in black and white. And regarding overseer report, we clearly know what our perspective is. And I would suggest to the communications and these groups that they sit down with the technical if there's some issues, just to get these fundamentals going. And that's at a micro level on the ground. And the macro, big picture level is, yes, this council, the reference group, with all these stakeholders, need to have a re-look at it. But in the meantime, let's get on with the commitments and the information that we've already got. That's my view.
Councillor Scott, that was very helpful. I'm going to go to the CE and then to Councillor Woodhead.
Thank you for the points raised, and I think it is just, I would just make the point that, I haven't seen any council be able to go through a plan-making process and come to implementation and for it necessarily to work as it was anticipated when you're doing plan-making. That doesn't mean that we've got a serious issue with the plan, but it does mean that we need to come to some understanding of exactly how we want to implement it. And that really is I think, what the staff are saying, is they are unsure about how to implement it, and some practical considerations are coming up. So, for example, we're supposed to measure water quality. If a farmer has, 12 tile drains, does that mean they measure at 12 points, or do they measure at 1 point? And so there are simple questions like that are very practical that we need to be able to provide some advice on. So I fully support what's being said, but I would say that they are the sorts of questions that are coming up and probably where the staff are looking for additional guidance.
Where are these answers going to come from? There's an awful lot of good questions. Who's answering them?
From a very easy spot, Mr. Chairman, and it's called common sense in most cases. Right? Can I speak?
Yes, please.
Yeah, look, we went as council to a lot of work, and the resources are sitting there, I'm sure, because I've seen them turn up in my mailbox or at field days, answering most of these questions. What is a river? That was one we got asked right at the start, because they were thinking about legal definitions instead of actually opening doors. It's a bit of running water that runs continuously or intermittently.
Sort of like that.
Councillor Kepler's awake, that's good. And we've got brochures, education brochures, showing sediment management options for how to organise your grazing, mitigation measures, putting a straw in a culvert. We've seen the photos and the presentations. There's an enormous amount of resource there. We've just got to be careful sometimes. Farmers, they'll continue to ask questions to try and niggle away and try and find a way around. And actually, instead of go home, open your eyes, you can see sediment in a waterway, you can tell what a waterway is. It runs water most of the year. Or what about this ditch? Is it up where a creek will have gone, or is it a man-made ditch? they can sort it out. Go home and do some stuff. We do have an enormous amount of education resources, some clarity around some of our consistency across some of our answers from staff. We need to ensure we are being consistent, and we're very clear. And again, I've seen diagrams produced by OSC assisting a farmer understand where you should take the water sample. Right? Do you need to take 12? No. But take 2 or 3 that are representative and repeat them through the seasons and start doing something.
Yeah.
So we need to be careful not to shoot a home goal and be too hard on ourselves, and working with the staff in the field, ensuring there's consistency and clarity of message. Let's work on that.
Okay. Who's on the water reference group around this table? Hands up. 2, 3, 4. Who's chairing it? Cool. All right. You got some work to do, eh?
Correct.
Thanks, Council Laws, for triggering that off. Good discussion. I'm going to move on. Where am I going to go? So I'm going to 2.8, Tuaki Tautua Community Vision. We've discussed that already. Is there anything more to be said?
It's going to be a wet duck shooting, Mr. Chairman.
It's going to be what?
A wet duck shooting.
So that's,
oh, it's not relevant.
That's interesting. I'm not into blood sports, but there we are. That's just me. The future of farm base for, yeah, that's thing at Gore Carmen, you were at that.
I was councillor, they just finished here. It was good. Very good.
Yeah, so I think
it was a very good night. Yes. We certainly learnt a lot, didn't we, Sarah? Okay. And as Mrs. Gardner said through the chair, that probably a lot of the answers are already in the room. And I suspect that was probably quite relevant.
Yep.
We certainly went through a lot of different farms, some traditional, some more holistic, weren't they? All different, what they were doing, different approaches. And then, as I say, the draw card, I guess, for the evening, I thought anyway, was the professor, our learned professor, gentleman friend that you spoke of with from Dunedin, you know.
Oh, Frank?
Yes, who explained that.
Yeah, wonderful.
If you're going to do this farm based, this food that's, you know, taking away from meat, really, it's got to be a selective market.
Yeah.
It's very adamant on that. I see there's another couple of workshops today, I think, and maybe yesterday, and around Clinton, sort of coming on from this as well.
Okay. Councillor Brown,
just a question for the people who attended. Was the discussion really focused on changing land use patterns and the opportunity for that?
through you, Chair, if I may. The discussion was really interesting in terms of, it wasn't necessarily about changing land use patterns so much, but it was about using different techniques to traditional techniques to get better environmental outcomes. So, for example, one of the ones was there was a farmer who was speaking about, his sort of inexperience initially, and he ploughed up a whole big piece of his land, and it rained, and he watched all the sediment run into the creek, and how he's changed his farming practice so that he's not opening up big tracts of land with ploughing. That he's actually, so when he planted his wheat, for example, he underplanted with something else, so that when he harvested his wheat, he still had plants in the ground to hold on to the sediment. So that sort of conversation, also some conversation about different approaches to soil conditioning. So not necessarily using what you would expect, you know, the normal sort of approaches with urea and that sort of thing, but going towards some other methods that were generating really fantastic results over and above what was possible with urea. So it was more that sort of thing.
Thank you. It was a real shame that there were so many things on this particular day, because I was really interested in going, and Carmen has pulled me in on some of the conversation that happened there. I would like to request that if we have any way of organising the July meeting in Dunedin to be around the same time as other councillors are already in town, that would be fantastic. I think that I also heard back from the workshops that were in Clinton on restorative farming practices yesterday and today. I would have loved to have gone to yesterday's one if I'd known with more time. But hearing back, there were about 150 farmers at that particular event. It was very well attended, highlighting the fact that farmers farm soil And not necessarily farming to, you know, the animals or the plants, but it's about that soil condition. I would hope that these matters are brought to council in terms of our understanding of where we should be aiming for our own visions and policies in the future. I think we've got an opportunity with the proposed work around the future drivers work that's been proposed around the council table for the last sort of 9 months, because if we're going to be creating policy that's looking to the future to support changes and encourage good practice, then we need to know what they are. And at the moment, there seems to be a lot happening out in the community and some really good discussions and information being shared, but we're not getting that back here. So if there's some way of being able to capture that, it would be incredibly valuable.
I agree with everything you just said. Sutton was writing as you spoke, which was very encouraging. But I agree with that need for us to be kept in all those loops, because there's so much exciting stuff happening. Councillor Hope.
Thank you, through the Chair. I was just going to say, further from what Mrs. Gardner had said, one of the biggest drivers that farmers had experienced too was also the different soil types. For example, we had one fabulous lady who'd come from Canterbury and couldn't work out why what she was trying to achieve there, a very clever girl, didn't work here. It was the fact of the rain and the intensity, and you've got to take that into factor. Okay, and they had to obviously realise to get their start right, they had to move them off to dry land. Things like that that you've actually had, and they've said that you've got to be pretty resilient in what you're going to do, but you also have to think outside the square. So that came through, didn't it, very much so, that, you know, if you actually got it wrong, well, okay, mm-hmm. admit it, let's see how you can fix it. Farming practices. Stay viable.
If I might just comment in. So I absolutely agree with the fact that some of these stories need to come back to council. Mm. I also think that we need to think about our role in telling those stories more broadly so that communities can learn from each other.
Just one quick question. Why was Pete Hodgson there?
He was, through the Chair, am I right? He was advocating the fact that he felt that, for example, was it nitrate? That we should look at as an industry and self-regulate ourselves. And he talked about, you know, it sounds very exaggerated, but he talked about doctors in Kurau that realised they had to, what was it? They had to regulate something back then, but there was a comparison lot. This was the only way to do it. What he was saying is, you spend so much, it's a bit like beef and lamb, you pay a levy, but there's research done on it to see actually how you're going. Are you saturating your soil? Are you going okay? And how could you do better? It wasn't silly. It was kind of well thought out. And he was very good, wasn't he?
He was really good. He was also talking about the sort of the central government policy machine and how that works being proactive and actually making those approaches to central government to say, hey, we've got this policy idea, rather than letting it happen through.
Yeah. Pete Hodgson has his role, as I understand, at the Centre of Innovation, and of course he's a vet and he has his parliamentary background.
Absolutely.
So I'm not surprised
it was a very practical idea. It wasn't your theory.
Question about that. Councillor Lawton, I'll give you another go.
Sorry, I was just following on from that, it keeps coming back to this council around a water and land plan. So how do we provide the information about the types of soils that are best fit for certain types of farming and how the modelling might sit alongside that? It just, you know, I don't feel that we're particularly clear about our role in providing information to the community versus the expectation of the type of information that the farmers should gather themselves.
Are you familiar with Grower Target?
Yep. Does it go far enough?
I don't know, but it sounds like what you're talking about.
Okay. Looking more at what the likes of South Environment Southland are doing, where they're getting down into quite minute detail of the types of soils and adequate farming practice. But I would like to... So coming from that, all of this is an amazing report. There is so much going on, and there's a whole lot of discussion points in here. I'd really love to see if there are an action list that comes out of this report that's attached to the minutes of the report, so that we can capture those things that we've suggested we're going to do. Otherwise, I feel like a lot of it gets lost
And I'm like, I'm sure we talked about that at some stage, what we're going to do about it. I think it would be really helpful.
Through the chair, may I respond to
please do.
I think it's really interesting, the conversation about soils, and I'm relatively new still, and I think, you know, I'm going to push for this idea of having a workshop on the water plan in our comms, because I was just in a team meeting yesterday where I had a number of liaison staff saying that they were mandated not to talk about on-farm management practices. So I wasn't here for that, and I'm not here to comment on the mandates of the past, but I think we need to, as a group, decide where we're going, what information we're giving, and give some guidance to the staff around that, because there's so much history that I think they've lost their way in terms of what they should be communicating and what they shouldn't be communicating.
Yeah, I don't want to dwell on this for too long, but I do bring this up every chance I get, which is that we need to be taking a broader overview as well. And in my mind, it's a shame that we've kind of dropped an economic development model for Otago, because this is where it would fit as well. We need to really well understand the region. The future of farming, I liked Councillor Brown's question of did it include land use change as well as just some sort of BMP, best management practice tweaks? Because, yeah, really we need to be thinking about both and what we've got to offer in Otago. I've talked about this last meeting as well. We are a unique region with really clean water quality. We've got some niche type production like cherries and stone fruit, etc. We've got some sectors which is still a problem in Otago. And do we need problems like that, really? I think we need a stronger look at the actual economic ramifications of what we're doing. I think primary sector in Otago is now something like our seventh highest GDP. It's just interesting, and I think that we should be doing and still very, very important to Otago, but and very important that we promote stewardship in that area and support people as much as we can, because obviously primaries are also our largest land use, so very, very important with that respect. But we need to understand the whole situation and where we're heading, and just protecting our environment long term is really important in this region. And also, with regards to that, state of the environment reporting in Otago needs to be really broad.
So where are you taking us to with all this?
It's similar to what everyone's talking about, but a much broader picture and involvement for the regional council and understanding where Otago is at. So state of the environment isn't just a water quality report every so often, it's state of the environment, which is and state of the region. And that's our role.
Can I help?
Yeah.
Thank you for those comments, Councillor Robson. I just wanted to mention that one of the things that I've identified in my short time here is that by default we have a data team, but really they're our compliance team, and what we don't have is an information and intelligence function. And so I've actually asked Director McLean if he would mind scoping what that sort of function would look like, because at the moment we do have a lot of data, but what we're not able to do very well is convert that data into information that then we can provide. So that's something that I'm keen to look at and think would be a help.
Yep, good.
Councillor Brown.
I'm just interested in the talk about stewardship of the soil. I think that's very important. And indeed, this council in its earliest days were at the forefront of that in terms of direct drilling, Otago and probably New Zealand. So we've been there, done that to some degree already, but I think it probably needs a refocus on it. It was basically saying put away the plough and getting direct drilling so you don't get so much sediment in the waterways.
Get some clarification, particularly if Councillor Robertson's talked about this multiple times, and I know I've brought it up a few times. What are we going to, what do we have a plan currently for how we're going to address this
problem of not necessarily being able to look far enough ahead for our community. Is the report that we've proposed in the long-term plan for looking at drivers of change, so is that already being proposed for the work plan starting at the next financial year? I realise this may not be the best report to talk to that, but could we...
I'm not entirely familiar about the timing with that, but we can come back to you absolutely on that.
As part of the action list, it would be... Yes. I feel like we often walk away from these council and committee meetings with no clear outcome of what we're going to do about what we've just talked about.
Sure. I mean, we've also... I spoke with you recently about flow plan changes and the recasting of the policy work program. And so I think a number of the things that have been talked about this morning would fit into that. Mm-hmm. So it would be worthwhile perhaps workshopping that sooner rather than later to talk about how that broader program might roll out in the future.
Yeah, a good high-level understanding of how that's going to work and some time frames would be really helpful.
I'm not denying the value of this very circular discussion, but I'm keen to get back to the agenda. So unless anybody's got anything particularly urgent about that discussion, I'm going to move on.
These are the nuts and bolts in this report.
Of course it's urgent. No, just a very quick comment is that once the regional policy statement is in place, there is a piece of work which council is obliged to do around land planning. And whether we're talking about land use, whether we're talking about, there will be a multitude of things which potentially we've touched on around this table that council will be obliged to consider in that process.
Why are we waiting?
Pardon?
Why are we waiting?
Because we actually don't have the statement in a place where we can start. That's simple as that. But nevertheless, that work has to be done, so there will naturally be a significant focus through that. That was the point of one way.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Very good point. Are there any other matters of urgency related to whatever it was we were talking about? Let's move on then to page 8. And the Guardians of Lake Wanaka, Balanced Farm Environment Awards, etc., down to Wild Dunedin, which seems to be bigger than Ben Hur. Any comments about any of those? Councillor Lawton?
Point of correction, Queenstown event was on the 10th, the Wanaka event was on the 11th, and I was at both.
Thank you. Over the page to the Good Water Project update with the three stages of the GWP. A reminder for us of all of that. Did you want to say anything else, Ms. Sutton?
Yes, please, through the chair.
Go
just
for it.
By way of update, I just want to let the council
know. Tell us about the pilot surveys.
We've done 300 phone surveys to date, so we're aiming for aspirationally 800. So I'm really pleased with the progress to date, and that's something that Ms. Glogue has been running. Letters are going out to the shag catchment next week to inform the landholders of the pilot that's occurring there. And there's also letters being circulated around the desktop assessments, which are already underway. A courtesy letter, I believe, to let them know that's happening. So 300 for me is a really positive number.
Yeah,
and just going back to the water quality debate, I think there's a real opportunity once these surveys come in to look at that data, and it will hopefully tell us a story directly from the community about what's going on out there and levels of readiness.
Can Lisa give us any more detail on what we're finding out? Or is it too early for that?
I don't think we've got the result. No. I don't think, through the chair, I don't think we have the detail of those surveys at this point, do we?
We'll have a final report, I think.
Okay. Keen to hear what that covers. All right, any other comment on that? On to 3.2, moving day. It seems to be covered in terms of reminding people. Yeah, please do.
I loathe political correctness in any guise, and boy, this was one. This is PC gone really stupid. as a result of a former chief executive who took something to a ridiculous degree. And I, right now, with a new chief executive, because we don't have to deal with the particular psychology of that particular action at that time, to deal with this issue. I've looked through all of the 2018 Otago Southland area as to the description of this event, and it's Gypsy Day. And Moving Day is a manufactured, made-up term from the Otago Regional Council as a result of an arbitrary decision of the Chief Executive last year. And I want to dispense with it and go back to what it's known as by the rural community of Otago Southland, which is Gypsy Day. Chief Executive last year changed it unilaterally without any discussion with this council because of one complaint from one Dunedin City Councillor. Let's just be quite clear here. One complaint, one Dunedin City Councillor. Councillor Aaron Hawkins. And it's ironic that at a time when we, the council, has voted 11-3 on forming a partnership with us and things like that, and have in actual fact censured us in a funny sort of way yesterday as a result of that, we're not taking that seriously, so why would we take what one councillor said in an informal structure last year seriously and change a sentiment? And can I say, we're talking about communication with our communities. This is a really good example of the Otago Regional Council demonstrating by a very simple but clear act that we really don't care what you think to the rural community. You call it Gypsy Day, but the chief executive didn't approve. Now, I have also researched this quite a bit over the last year because I thought, gosh, where does this offence come from? And I discovered it actually doesn't come from the Romani people at all. In fact, the Romani people throughout the world describe themselves as gypsies. And indeed, they celebrate that particular term and phrase in a number of reality TV shows throughout Europe. And when I was in Europe at the end of last year, I happened to meet some gypsies, self-described, in France, who also were particularly pleased at this, and I had a really interesting conversation in my pidgin French as to if they'd be offended if I described them as a gypsy, to which they said, in a way, we'd be offended if you just didn't give us money. They didn't care, and they referred themselves as gypsies and enjoyed it. I'm sure they would be enormously amused that down at the bottom of the South Island of the South Pacific, a particular regional council took it so seriously that they might be offended that we'd change something in retrospect. Can I ask us to go back to Gypsy Day, please?
Yeah, you may.
It's what we, the rural community of Otago Southland, know this name. It's a name that means nothing to them, Moving Day. And given that there are no offended people who've ever expressed any offence to the Otago Regional Council, it was an odd and bizarre act that we should roll back.
Thanks for all that. That was fascinating.
But who cares?
So can I just say that we refer to Gypsy Day as Gypsy Day.
Any other discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I think this is a bit of a storm in a teacup. I know I was highly irritated last year with the process and the former CEO made their decision, but there's no reason why we can't call it Gypsy Day. And I note the Omri Mail, a four-page supplement last week, every page was headed up Gypsy Day. So I was absolutely delighted.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anything else?
You can have Gypsy Day if I
can instead. Yeah, of course you may. Is there a second of the
council? I'll ask these Gypsy Day be renamed or be restored as Gypsy Day.
Seconded?
I'm not seconding it because this is PC. This is the actual action of doing this is PC as well.
Well, unfortunately, we need a formal motion, otherwise we'll get pulled.
If we didn't get a formal motion going the other way.
I know. Can we get assurance from the chief executive that will be that the sentiment of this meeting will be picked
up? Let's just move on. Chief executive to explore the possibility.
Sorry, can you give us a shot?
Mr. Chair, I wasn't aware of this history.
No.
I thought perhaps the community had renamed it Moving Day. I didn't know that it was a random decision made in this chamber.
Some sections do.
I'm a big fan of using the words that the community uses to describe things, and certainly I don't need a motion.
More than happy to call it Gypsy Day.
Okay, done.
Right. Thank you very much.
What's it raising?
Serious policy stuff now.
Well,
there are communication principles involved in that. You don't use language that your audience doesn't use. Councillor Woodhead.
Is that true?
There's a mix of them used, but let's get on with it.
Anything on page 10 of the agenda? We're getting into field days, workshops, presentations.
Yes, please. In 343 around Blueskin, what was the point made around glyphosate use?
They wouldn't like it out there.
Yep, so it has been banned in some countries, which is why I'm interested in it.
I can help with that if you like. based on my former knowledge through the EPA. So glyphosate, there was a report from quarters in the European Union that talked about glyphosate being a carcinogen. What that report didn't do, which you would normally do, is while there might be a hazard present, it's then about exposure as to whether or not that hazard translates into any kind of risk. And so there are some countries in the world that have decided that glyphosate is no longer for them and they're looking at banning it. As I understand, the New Zealand advice as it stands at the moment is that the risk can be managed. And that came out of a report that was done by the EPA, although I have seen from time to time criticism of that.
Thank you for the clarification. So in relation to the discussions in Blueskin was around the better management practice of glyphosate or the council's use of glyphosate, or I'm just trying to figure out.
Through the chair, I'd need to take that question on notice and I can get back to you.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Good, thank you. Over the page to Southern Wood Council meeting. I had a question there, meeting between Key Forest Red Wild Week and meeting on the 26th of April to iron out some implementation questions. Does anybody know what happened at that meeting?
I could quickly help.
Yep.
I went and opened the meeting, and really the purpose of the meeting was, despite the fact that the NPS on production forestry has been some 10 years in the making, the implementation timeframe is very short, and so it was a meeting that was intended to assist foresters with coming to an understanding with us about how that implementation would take place and what the expectations were.
Okay, very good. Catchment groups, I note the extraordinary difference between the turnout at those two meetings at Oamoko and compared with Wairika. And I wondered whether Councillor Brown, you could explain to us why there was a handful at one and the hall was busting up the seams at the other.
I'm not too sure, but probably the Wairika catchment is a lot more landowners than that area.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Over the page.
General question in terms of the catchment groups. There's a number of them, I'm aware. And so is there expected to be councillor representation at those meetings?
Hasn't been an expectation up until now, no?
Not necessarily an expectation, but if the councillor wanted to be. That was a point that I was going to raise, Mr Chair, is that, like, for example, we have this, elsewhere we have a document that has all the different dates of upcoming events, and in it, it's got our council meetings and committee meetings, and if you push those aside, there's actually only four dates that are in it. So like myself, where I try to get organised with McKellen and looking ahead, what are the things I can do that I should do as a councillor? There was actually only four events, whereas actually if you go through this report here, there's actually 40 events. So there's 40 events when you look back, and we're told about 10% of them. And And often, you know, if an event's during the day, a councillor might be able to go, and that's fine, but it'd be nice to sort of know, and if it's in the future, you can sort of maybe organise yourself if it's appropriate, if it's appropriate. But, you know, I just think we can do a little bit better in terms of communicating in the future what events are coming up. And I'm not quite sure how you do that, but like it's a bit of a technical challenge, that how do you, as soon as something, how does it become live into this document? And so, I think we can do better.
Yeah.
So recently I made exactly the same point to the executive team.
Yeah.
And we're putting together a calendar that we could probably merge.
Yeah.
That will have a number of dates in it, because you're right. There are a lot of things that take place that you could be involved in. There are also national and international events and days that we could be involved in or capitalise on, also like World Earth Day and other things.
Through the chair, this probably validates Councillor Lawton's point from earlier, but I recall there was a commitment made in this session that we would put these events into your calendars.
Yeah.
We've had Suzanne Watt depart. I had assumed that was happening, but I feel with these events the best way to do it is to have it in your calendar, because producing a static list, certainly for me personally, I just forget.
Yeah.
But if it goes into your calendar as an optional and you make the decision to attend or not, then I think that would be the way that I would suggest we manage the community event side of things.
Sounds very good.
Obviously not putting all of the external events like, you know, International Women's Day and so forth, we'll have that internal calendar. So apologies that that hasn't happened, if it hasn't, but I can make a commitment that these events can go into your calendars if that suits.
Yeah, that's why I raised about these North Target Field days, Nick. So I actually think they're quite important, because Noslem's a bit more down the track than a lot of other areas, and it'd be great if some councillors could get along there.
Yeah, okay. And through the chair, one more comment in regards to Councillor Lawton's comments, and this goes back to some commitments that I want to make around future workshops. I think it's really important that we have a discussion in this room around what our role is with the catchment groups. They are growing, and I think they'd love to see councillors there. We're just not sure what the mandate is in regards to those. So a discussion around what our role is. A lot of them are looking for funding as well. We have touched on that previously. We do fund an administrative position, I believe, in the Noslem group currently. Is it a case-by-case consideration? If we fund one, do we fund others? There's some fundamental questions around catchment groups.
That sounds like a really good workshop to have. Moving on, 5.3 Lower Waitaki Irrigation Company. The last sentence caught my eye. The next step will be for us to produce a draft proposed plan change. Which plan? Water plan? It is?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh. I think we're supposed to be having a workshop on that at some stage, I think.
Mm. Okay, well, that's good. I must have missed that memo. Over the page to the meetings held and the scheduled meetings coming up to do with deemed permits, water user group meetings. That's referred to in another agenda later today, about the progress with that. Stop me on any other page. I'm up to page 713, the fish survey, then on to policy, the irrigation conference and Alex in the middle of April. The flat out and viro schools in Waitaki, they seem to have started off with a hiss and a roar, which is great to see. Yeah, I agree with you, Trevor. Talking of the previous chief executive, he may not have been perfect, but he was a big enviro schools fan. And we wouldn't be doing all this had he not put his considerable bulk behind it, I suspect. Interesting to see that 88% of our schools returned their questionnaires in the national survey. Anything further there? Page 16, the Creek Fest in North East Valley. All happens in North East Valley.
Okay. There was just a point.
Pardon?
Sorry, I'm off.
And on speech, I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to... it was page 13 or 14.
I'm on page 17.
Yes, but I was
slower
than you.
Yep,
so, and it was regarding water how the water tests were done for permits, and then if further tests were required, then it was at the cost of the landowner. I've even lost my place now. And of course it wasn't him who was asking for it, it was all these other bodies, but they don't have to pay. That was just the point I was making.
I can't immediately see what you'd have been referring to.
Here we are, I've got it. Right. 713. Mm-hmm. Communication group regarding the fish survey.
I thought about it.
And in the second paragraph, said should a further survey be sought by affected parties, I know this is actually normal legal thing as well, as part of negotiations, then the onus will be on the permit holder to meet these costs.
Yeah. What's your point?
Well, should he be the person who meets those costs? Given that he's not the one who's wanting the data. It's the people seeking the...
normal consent procedure.
But it is normal consent procedure, I do. I'm just making that point anyway.
Right. All right, thanks, Councillor Neil. Jumping ahead back to page 17 and 18, much of which of that is reporting on past events. The Leith Amenity Project, I'm interested to see the success of that in terms of consultation on a fairly abstract idea, was very successful. 130 submissions from a variety of online sources, approximately 1,400 visitors. An engagement report is currently in draft. I'll be pleased to see that. That sounds like a very successful exercise and the development of a good model that could be used in other projects.
Through the chair, there's a plan to have a Leith Amenity Project workshop where the consultation report will be presented, but also we're hoping to invite back the community facilitator, Lindsay, to present some of the findings. It's been a new approach to consultation that we've used, and it's been really interesting.
Sorry,
I've missed something, but it could come up later, so I just wanted to check. The Menihirikia thing, will that come up later on anyhow, will it?
In our policy workshop.
All right. Anything else on the data? Pages 19,
20, 21. I'm happy to move the information, Mr. Chairman, wherever it is. That's fine.
I think we've done a pretty thorough noting job as we've worked through it. I can't find that recommendation. Oh, there it is. Page 23, halfway down. Is there a second for that motion from Councillor Woodhead? Thanks, Councillor Scott. Is there any discussion on the motion? Those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, I thank everybody for all your discussion input. Thanks, Director.